Oh, hello, Mr. Burns.
Well, Madam Cusack, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
You know, hanging in.
Yeah, doing what you do.
Yeah. So what's going on in your life? You've been very busy.
I know. And I was talking to Bill, my husband, saying, oh, remember like 5 years ago how busy I was? Well, now I'm just loving life because I'm not, you know, going to board meeting after board meeting, but I'm still just as busy. But I guess it's more of what I love to do than not what I love to do. So I think that's the key. I found the meaning of life.
Yeah, that's sort of my view of growth, is being able to move into the things you really love to do so that you don't notice how much commitment you have to it.
Yeah.
Of course, that's ruined a lot of marriages, but that's another story.
Yes, when you don't comply to the norms of society, it often ruins a lot of things or makes it better.
The norms of society are about playing it safe so that the people that establish them don't feel uncomfortable. It doesn't have much to do with moving forward or progress or excitement. It's more about maintaining the status quo.
Yeah.
And what I found interesting is lately with all the innovations in technology, the play it safe crowd has sort of become less visible.
Yeah.
Although not in parenting and stuff, but in terms of general, you know, news articles and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I think in some ways it's gotten worse with helicopter parenting and one thing and another, but minding everybody else's business. But
yeah,
I think, you know, technology has certainly forced status quo aside.
Oh, yes, definitely. I've been watching a lot of people, like, come out of the shell, and it's like, oh my gosh, the heck is going on?
Right, and in an interesting way, that shift has let all the nuts out.
Yes, it has.
You know, like anonymous posting and so on.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, it's saying, well, see, the status quo wasn't so bad. It kept a lid on these people. But the reality was they were always out there. We just didn't know it, so we couldn't be prepared.
Right. Yeah. That's the truth.
Everybody has to do what works best for them, I think. I think some people work much better with the status quo.
Yes, they do. And that's part of being like, you know, I don't know if it's more of them trying to not face what reality is, but because they're more comfortable and they have to plan and do things step one, two, and three, then that's how it works for them. I don't know.
I think the mistake is thinking that there's only one reality, that there's reality and everybody has to adjust to it. But reality is different for everybody.
Yeah.
Reality is really what's going on in your life at the moment and how you relate to it. It's not a set of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think the fact that we've not been educated or encouraged to be flexible and to go with what is and to stop trying to make it into what we think it ought to be instead of working with what it really is, I think that's what's created a problem for a lot of people moving forward.
Well, if reality is different for everyone, then how can you know when someone's not in reality or looking at reality?
Well, you can't, and I think that's sort of a big fallacy of a lot of things, is that most people felt reality is what people have agreed to as a normal. And I don't know how many normal people you know.
I know zero normal people. I'm the less normal person I know in my whole entire life.
No, and I know, and I think that I think this idea of having to reach a norm, it has its place, certainly. I mean, there's normal behavior or behavior that's considered acceptable or safe or whatever, but that doesn't also mean it's right.
Yeah.
I know a lot of well-adjusted people, I just assume not know.
Yeah. I don't need any more friends.
No. And you know, and on the other hand, there are a lot of very well-adjusted people that make great friends. So I think we have to move away from this idea of a standard. Mm-hmm. I think my judgment of people in touch with reality is the people who are coping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that are dealing with what's in front of them.
Right, with life and not ignoring their pain in front of them.
Right. But people that are coping and dealing. Surrender, to me, is accepting the reality in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Once you accept the reality in front of you, you can see the first step of solution. But people who keep trying to live in should be, could be, ought to, I don't know why is this happening to me, why does this have to, they're not in touch with reality.
Yeah.
Winders become winos.
What did you say?
I said whiners become winos.
Oh. I thought you called me a wino. I'm like, what? Yes.
No. Only the best vintage wino.
Oh yes, darling.
Yeah, totally, absolutely.
Well, Bill, a lot has happened this week in regards to, like, jobs and layoffs, and people on Twitter are like, I can't believe this company laid off this many people, and right before the NFL draft and all of this stuff, and a lot of, you know, my friends lost their jobs as well, and uh-huh. I'm reading the thing, like, what people are saying is like, this isn't fair, how could you do this? And I read an article from, I think, on the Shadow Leagues talking about how this is business. This is the way business is going. And, you know, it's not against anyone. It's to maintain, you know, business. But a lot of the comments are, like, judgmental of this place sucks and all that. I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, all the knee-jerks out there who didn't want to deal with reality. It's horrible that business is about doing business.
Mm-hmm.
They're in this illusion that somehow everything should be about everybody that's involved in a process. They forget that involving oneself in a process, whether it's a job or whether it's a commitment or marriage or whatever it is voluntary. You show up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has its own rules. We'd like to pretend they don't apply to us. So whether it's the worker getting paid too much for the job they do, which forces cutbacks,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's a business climate that, you know, forces businesses to streamline and reduce their dependency on their workforce. And it isn't about fairness, it's about realities. In reality, for business, it's a lot less flexible than it is for people.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you listen to people talk about, well, let's pick hot button issues, what do you say?
Let's do it,
Let's say people are talking about the cost of medicine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the horrible cost of insurance. Well, when do these two things become social welfare projects?
Mm.
I don't know anybody that complains about things like that that would work for nothing.
Yeah.
And they're always looking for raises and to make more money. When a business does that, they're furious.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what they don't know, nor are they willing to learn it. So I remember back in, maybe it was the 60s, when a drug called AZT came out. And I think the company was Boston Welcome or something. It was expensive. And my father had worked for that company. And he said, well, it's not surprising it's expensive. Back then, it cost $30 million to develop.
Wow.
Now drugs cost almost $1 billion to bring to market.
Yeah, with all the trials and everything.
And except for a few idiots like the one that just tripled or raised their prices by a thousandfold, most businesses, you know, don't work on that greater profit margin overall. For example, a company may have a drug that's phenomenally profitable that offsets the cost of thousands of drugs that didn't pan out.
Mm.
Nobody wants to look at that. They want, I want, and I should have, and because I want it, I should have it. I mean, the biggest objection to Obamacare is what? Is that everybody have insurance.
Oh, right.
Because if everybody has insurance, even if it's subsidized, it spreads the risk among everybody so that you can afford to treat everybody. But if you don't have everybody involved and not everybody is paying premiums, how can anything, you know, survive? So they have to raise the costs on those who are paying the premiums, and then nobody wants them to give the people that are paying the premiums preference. So if you're paying $1,000 a month for insurance, and these people who don't have any money are in the same emergency room, you're going to have to wait as long as they do, even though you're paying for their treatment.
Right.
So, and nobody thinks there's anything wrong with that picture.
There's nothing wrong with it. Look over here. There's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here.
I know it. And nobody wants to talk about realities. I was looking at a film clip because they did this thing on the 95 riots in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been running film clips of it, one thing and another.
Yes.
90% of the rioters are simply thieves.
Right. They're like,
they're simply people waiting for a chance to break in and loot other people's hard-earned stores and businesses and profits and then scream if you say it's racial.
Yeah.
Scream if they say they don't have a right because they've been maltreated.
Mm-hmm.
By whom?
Yeah. Well,
and yet, when they do the movie, it's going to look like they're all justified.
Yeah.
Somehow the police are bad.
Well, that came out of what the community felt was, you know, injustice towards African-American people, you know, so the Rodney King was a conduit to the, I feel like the feelings of, oh, I'm going to go get what's mine type of mentality. Maybe I'm not saying that correctly, but
I know what you're saying. It turns out that Rodney King was in the wrong. And it turns out over his lifetime, he turned into be a real rotter.
Mm-hmm.
I know that those communities have always refused to work with the police.
Out of lack of trust.
Absolutely, but what came first?
Mm-hmm.
There have been police outreach programs since then, and pundits are saying, well, the same pressures exist.
Yeah.
You know, you walk into a community that has a lot of drug dealers and so on, and you really want to solve murders and you really want to get these people off the street, but you have so many restrictions on what you're able to do, and nobody's willing to cooperate and give you information, and then they want to hold you responsible for bad living conditions.
Yeah.
And by the way, who's paying for the police? Certainly not the people that are rioting.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of organizations that are working to work with the police, and instead of having people say what they need for the community speaking up and saying, hey, We're going to walk our kids to school. Here are people standing on each corner to make sure the kids are safe when they're walking through, you know, communities with gangs and all of that. And I know we discussed how more and more we are coming together as a community to solve our issues and not relying so much on the government to supply what we think that we need. And that's a change in what's going on in politics right now.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. I think there are definitely people trying to work through the community. But it seems to me that it's a lopsided view. It seems to me the things that they're yelling about and outraged about don't hold a candle to the things they do to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I don't know about you, but if I have a badge and I have to go into a neighborhood of hostile people who aren't even paying their way, and I have to put my life on the line, even though I'm getting no cooperation, and I'm almost as much danger as if I were in an opposing gang watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I'd feel about outreach. I don't know how I'd feel about somebody who overreacts because they're panicked.
Yeah.
People seem to feel that if you're wearing a uniform and you walk into a highly dangerous situation, you shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't make a mistake. You shouldn't overreact. And yet the very people that are saying that are very really, in a real sense, overreacting to what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I have an answer. I'm just saying that this brings up these questions for me.
Yeah. But there's also that reality of not being in a hostile environment and still maintaining that threat and overreacting, you know, on a sense of, you know, a college campus and killing people in their car. You know what I mean?
And also we realize we only get part of the story.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we ever really get the whole story on anything.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to go on to ICE, the immigration enforcement. I heard a story on NPR about how now the immigrants, they don't want to come forward and say, oh, such and such happened, because now they fear, you know, being deported, even though they haven't done anything wrong, but because they...
Even though what?
They haven't done anything wrong.
Oh, like, I guess the word illegal doesn't mean anything.
No. Like, even people that are... came into the country with their visas, you know, not having any record or whatsoever, they still feel a threat of, well, I'll still get deported.
Well, that's a limited understanding of what's going on, I think. Because we're not deporting people who are here legally. We do sometimes if they create, you know, certain crimes, but I think that's blown out of proportion. I truly believe illegal people are afraid to come forward. I understand that. And I somehow can't get the word illegal out of my head. I don't know what the deal is. But I do know that legal Mexican immigrants have made a terrific role for themselves. In fact, they're over half of the governing body of the third largest city in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're selling fruit on street corners, not begging.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of respect for them and a lot of respect for the Asians who come over here and rebuild whole communities.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think self-pity plays a bigger role in the sense of being disadvantaged than we want to look at.
But isn't there, like, I heard a story, and I'm trying to listen to the story, not being biased either way, just trying to hear the facts. So you have a mother that came over here when she was younger with her family, and she grew up. She has three kids here now, and her kids were born here in America. You know, 15, 16 years later, she's going to be deported.
Did she come here legally?
She was brought here by her parents.
I didn't ask you that. I said, did she come here legally?
Legally? No.
Oh.
But her parents brought her. Well,
I don't care.
Parents brought her, but she's a little girl. She was a little girl.
Well, I can't help it.
But isn't that breaking the family apart as well? I'm.
Who's responsible for it? The person that came here illegally in the first place, or people who now want only legal people here? Which of those two is responsible for the little girl's predicament?
I know, but I still feel that, you know, I don't think we should break families up from their kids.
Then send them all back. Send the whole unit back.
There has to be another way, Bill.
Huh?
I said there has to be another way, Bill.
Why?
Because they're breaking up families. They're leaving little kids here by themselves. Like, the parents drop them off at school, and then they take the parents away, and the kids are waiting for them to come pick them up after school.
I understand. They're not handling it well, but the basic reality is the same. See, the grandparents come. They have kids who have kids.
Yes.
All right, so let's say that spans 45 years. There have been many ways for them to become legal during that 45-year period that nobody took advantage of, nobody bothered doing.
Yeah, that's true.
So now whose fault is it? We don't want to take personal responsibility, and we don't want to make other people take responsibility. We want to believe what we believe in rather than look at facts. There have been several major issues to get illegals to register and become legal. This is years later. They've never done it. Many did, and many are here, and many are having fine lives.
Yeah.
Liberals just want to look at the ones that didn't do it. Liberals just want to look at the ones that didn't do the effort, didn't make the effort, didn't do the work, but they should still have the reward. Increasingly, that's going to go away as a concept, and you're going to see more and more of these so-called unfair things happening.
Yeah.
Because people are going to be saying, if you don't do the work, you don't get the reward.
Yeah. But also, the dreamers, the new administration says, okay, we're going to keep the dreamers. And some dreamers are being deported as well, so they get caught up in it when it's, I don't know. It just blows my mind. And
well, what's a dreamer? What's a dreamer?
A young kid that was brought here by their parents that, are now going to school and that are working towards citizenship.
Not working
on college.
They're not working towards citizenship. But they are using scholarships and funding money that aren't available to citizens. I mean, we're always trying to make exceptions to the rule. And it's undermining the whole structure of everything. 20 years ago, people are furious when welfare mothers kept having kids.
Yeah.
Now it's racist to find that wrong. Meanwhile, the social welfare system is deeply in debt, and they're going to try to take it away from seniors who worked a whole life. for benefits that are now going to be taken away from them in order to help fund these other people who don't even belong here in the first place or who aren't taking responsibility for their own behavior and expecting the government to pay them for it anyway. I don't know. I'm not saying I have an answer. I'm saying that these things bother me.
Yeah.
They don't seem to bother anybody else.
No, I mean, I honestly believe if you are working, if you are living in realities, what's in front of you, and taking accountability for your actions, then yes, you know, but, you know, I think a blanketed overall, these people are bringing in drugs and gangbangers and all of this. I think that causes, I don't think that's right to put a blanket label over all the people that, you know.
No, wait a minute.
However they.
No, wait a minute. They're using that to justify getting rid of criminals.
Right.
They're not saying that all illegals are drug dealers. They're saying all illegals are illegal. Oh, no, don't say that. They're saying all illegals are illegal.
Right, but in President Trump's words, that's how he labels them as.
Well, I understand that, but President Trump does not make all the policy. And a lot of this backlash is coming from people who for years have been ignored and not listened to when they were saying these things were wrong and should be stopped and shouldn't be allowed to go further. And everybody said they were horrible and awful to feel that way. And now that we're overrun with this kind of a problem, those people are saying, we told you so, and we have to do something about it. And everybody's saying, oh, no, that's terrible, that's terrible, that's terrible. President Trump may be a clown, but a lot of the concepts and ideas he represents have been ignored to the peril of the population for a long time. And that's even without special interests. You want to stop drug dealers, go arrest all of the people that have parties and buy coke in the thousands of dollars of quantity so they can have party favors for their guests. Go arrest the users. But we don't do that. We go after the drug dealer. We go after the $25 a bag or, you know what I mean?
Yes.
User on the street corner. We're not going after the people that are buying drugs in quantities that are really making it profitable. Of course, if we went after them, we probably wouldn't have any films. Ooh, who said that?
Don't say that, Bill. What?
Oh, my God. So, you know, reality is not easy.
No, it's not.
And people that try to make it easy by pretending it isn't what it is are the ones that create the problem. We talked on an earlier show about you can't solve a problem you won't talk about.
Yeah.
You can't solve a problem you won't admit. And these people are screaming about results, not about causes.
So what is that more of, the community coming together and providing the facts of what's happening? And
well, that would help turn things around.
Mm-hmm.
That would help turn things around. I mean, I could say some very unpopular things other than what I've already said. But the reality is, if you want to go back to the cop problem, police were people hired initially by a certain group of people to keep order in a country.
Mm-hmm.
They've only been drawn to these neighborhoods because there's no order in the neighborhoods. And the people in those neighborhoods resent it because they want the problems to go away, but they don't want to have to do the hard work involved in making them go away. They're not going to turn evidence. They're not going to give evidence. They're not going to, what do they call it? Snitch?
Yes.
All right, well, don't snitch, but then don't bitch about the fact that the people down the street just got killed. And nobody seems to want to do anything about it. Hmm?
The people down the street just got what?
Killed. You know, somebody was murdered in the neighborhood.
Oh, God.
Well, then don't expect anyone to take care of that, because you know what? You're not giving them information that helps them solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say you're afraid, but there are plenty of neighborhoods in L.A. where the citizens took back the streets with the help of the police that nobody's talking about.
Yeah. No, actually, on my other show, I interviewed a couple people that are doing that. Those are
the
people
and
that...
the police have been very helpful to them in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
From what I can see, every time the neighborhood wants to involve the police are eager to help.
Mm-hmm.
So it tells me that the people that are rebelling and rioting against the police are people that don't want to help and still want the police to do the whole job, but only their way, not the police's way.
Right. Right.
Well, I don't think they deserve justice. I think justice is met out by reality, showing up and saying, you know what, you won't let them do the job, you won't give them any help, you're getting what you deserve.
Justice is a meal deserved to serve cold. I don't know the line, but something like that. What is it? Justice
reality is cold.
Oh, yes.
You want to be cold? Look down the barrel of a 40 millimeter revolver.
Right.
Because somebody wants what you work to get, but don't want to have to work for it. That's cold reality.
That is.
So, I don't know. I'm not anti-anybody. I am anti-escapism. I am anti-passing the buck. I am anti-trying to promote an ideal that doesn't face the reality facts.
Yeah.
Those are the things I'm against. I'm not against any racial group or anything else. And many of the racial groups I admire because they've worked so hard to build their communities and have done so well with them.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
What?
Oh, I thought I was disconnected for a second.
No, you're not disconnected, girl.
So a lot of times I feel I am. This week I do. But I was talking to my husband, Bill, again. I know I always mention him, but, you know, he's my life. But I was saying that I was talking to a certain family member this week, and the certain family member was going on about, you know, injustices that people never call or come visit and this and that. And I got angry and I hung up. I was like, because it felt to me like it was all victimhood. I'm like, what? Wait a second. What?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to be like that. I don't, like, it literally hurt my chest. I'm sitting there going, what are you talking about? Like, it just didn't make any sense. And I was trying to interject, and then I was like, oh my God, my chest is hurting more. I love you, bye. And then I just hung up. But I think
sense.
It went, yeah.
It makes perfect sense. If they can't see your point, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Because they may not be able to see what you're saying. They may understand the words, but they may not be able to understand the concept.
Yeah, that's true.
And that happens frequently on all sides of the issue. And I would like to remind our readers that we're doing this to get people to think,
mm-hmm.
not to put together a political action.
Right. I mean, I'm thinking, like, every conversation we have, I always go away with something new, something different, and...
As do I. And you know, and I think that's valuable. But I can't learn anything new from people who simply agree. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know. Like, you don't want to have people around you all the time that agree with you.
But we need people who are at least willing to agree on the need for people to take responsibility for their own behavior and not pass the buck and not blame everybody else and not try to get social programs passed that don't face reality.
Because mm-hmm. that does more harm than good. Mm-hmm.
Then look at your own house. Pardon?
Because imposing those programs will harm the community even more than what it's trying to bring in.
Right. And don't look at things through a lie. I mean, Obamacare, for example, isn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But if it were implemented the way it was written, then this would be lower, not higher. But it's one side's refusal to accept what's right with it that makes it impossible to improve it. And now they've gotten themselves in a jam because they can't figure anything out because they went into it stupid and they've come out of it just as stupid.
But do you think that's going to change? I mean, because the whole proposal was proposed by the Republicans years ago. That was the plan. And now that it was implemented by Obama's administration, they don't want it.
Well, because the changes that Obama's administration made were designed to make it sustainable. Part of which is everybody has to be insured.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that it came into sight because I know that I've talked to several people, like this little girl who she had scleroderma and she couldn't get any health coverage. Her parents couldn't get any health coverage for her, and everybody knew that by the time she turned 12, she was going to die. And I'm sitting there interviewing her, and she was happy. She was like, I get to wear my gloves to school because you couldn't touch people. And I'm like, wow, okay, here's what reality is.
Right. That's when you're actually addressing problems rather than ideas.
Yeah.
And things that happen. Well, I guess we won't solve all the problems today, huh?
No, not today. But I'm sure our listeners will get a deal, a lot out of this, and hopefully.
Well, I hope so.
Go for it.
If not, we did, and that's the important thing.
Yes. Well, all right, thank you. All right. Have a great week.
I think our show starring us makes us happy.
Yes, indeed. I love you, and I'll see you next week.